met when I was going to Bible college, and we met. And I had already been to Jamaica a couple of years and had a heart for Jamaica. And God ended up bringing Sarah into my life, and she says that, you know, I had a heart and love for Jamaica, and God just kind of threw her into the package, you know. So if you're wondering what an actual Jamaican looks like, you know, okay. And Matt, yeah, Matt, nephew Matt, all right. So basically, you know, she was a fairly new Christian when we met, and so I really kind of had this idea in my mind of the perfect Christian wife, and I started trying to, you know, do that, and God said, get your hands off her. I can do a lot better job than you can. And so I'm sure glad that I did and allowed God to do what he's done, because I am married to an amazing woman of God. We've always worked together as a team, whether what's overseas as missionaries or pastoring. She has a heart for women. She has a heart for pastors' wives, for children. And she loves Jesus with all of her heart. I love you, Sarah.
Thank you, John. I feel really humbled and at the same time really honored to be here. This is the first time I've spoken in a church, so it's a challenge for me. But you know what? The Lord chose this church. And I believe part of the reason, too, is because we are a church that loves each other. So if I blow it, you're still going to love me. As I was getting ready for this message, there's so many people that have supported, blessed me, encouraged me along the way. And first of all, just the leadership for even giving me the opportunity to speak. It's beyond what I could have imagined. And my life group, oh my goodness, you guys rock. And just friends and family that have supported me, I really appreciate that. And of course, my OSSM family. Woo! Okay. I thought, well, I'd share a little bit about myself. I know John shared some, but I thought I'd share a little bit about just my experience with the Lord over the years. I didn't actually accept the Lord until I was 30 years old. I grew up in Jamaica and experienced the Lord at around 10 years old. I went to a camp and the Lord just rocked me. But I left feeling that there was something about God, but just never choosing to serve him. It wasn't until I was probably in my 20s and I came across a friend who had accepted the Lord. He invited me to church. I actually went to shut him up. And I went through the service. Going through the service, I didn't feel anything. I actually left thinking, these are a bunch of crazy people. And I left. A couple of ladies from the church decided to visit me unexpectedly. And during that time, I was going through a stage where I was a very heavy smoker. I averaged 2 packs of cigarettes a day. I used to take one to light the other one. And they decided they wanted to pray for me, and I thought, great. I remember just looking at them while they were praying and thinking, these guys are really crazy. And I was afraid of people hearing them, and I was like, goodness. Anyway, to make a long story short, I got home that evening really seriously thinking that I would never visit that church again because these are a couple of crazy people that attend this church. And the following morning, I woke up. The Lord totally delivered me from smoking. Totally. And it was to the point where I could not stand the smell of cigarettes. I pretended I was still wanting to smoke because I could not explain it to any of my friends. Shortly after, I would say maybe a couple of years after, I ended up starting to smoke one night in a stressful situation. And before I knew it, I was back to smoking close to 40 cigarettes a day. The interesting thing is when I wanted to stop, I couldn't stop. And I remember one night just praying and asking the Lord to help me to stop smoking. It's like, okay, I know you did it before. I know I don't serve you, but I know you can do it again. That was pretty much what the type of prayer I gave. And I actually remember using these words, please, please, please help me. And went to bed the following morning, gone. Oh, about 5 years later, God spoke to me. I still wasn't serving God, had nothing to do with God, did not desire a relationship with God. And God spoke to me and said, you need to shut down your business, pack up, and move to the U.S. I'm still in Jamaica. And I thought, I knew it was God speaking to me. I didn't know how to even tell anyone that I'd experienced that. And this is just something, let me backpedal just a little bit, because sometimes we think God doesn't reach our prodigals, that God doesn't reach our loved ones that's not serving him, but he does. He reached me. He reached me when I didn't even think or desire or want him as part of my life. But he reached me, out to me. I silently packed up. This is probably the first time my nephew, who is from Jamaica, has heard this story. I didn't really tell anyone. I actually made up a lie and said I was going back to school because I didn't know how to explain to people that here I was not serving God, but God was telling me to do something. I was compelled to do it. And it wasn't where I even felt any tension or friction or anything with the decision. I just knew that's what I wanted to do. I remember thinking, okay. I even shouted out to God and said, okay, I hear you. So I'm going to move to Florida because Florida was close to Jamaica. It was kind of my stomping ground because I'd go back and forth to Florida. And the Lord said, no, you need to move to Seattle. So that's what brought me up to this area in the Northwest. So I came, and not just that, but God told me I was going to serve him. He told me I was to move and that I was going to serve him. I had no concept of what it was like to serve God, but I knew that's what I needed to do. So I did it. Shortly after I met John, I actually met him before I got saved. He invited me to church. Went to church, got saved, and the rest is history. Another experience I had, I don't want to take too long with this, is after we got married and John was just graduating from college and I did not want to move from Newburgh to Canby because John felt we're supposed to move as children, as youth pastors to Canby. And I didn't feel it and I was really defiant in not wanting to move. And I was driving down the road, I was actually on 99, driving down the road. I don't know why I was going to Canby, but I was coming into Canby for something. And I heard in an audible voice, go to Canby. It rocked me so much that it took me about 2 days to tell John about it. I was just so overwhelmed with the presence of the Lord and hearing that I couldn't even speak about it. So God has been faithful to me in spite of myself. The message I have for you today is breaking free from the strongholds of our minds. It's been my experience. And one thing I know is that we're destined to prosper as human beings. But it's the strongholds of our minds that can hold us back. Our minds are like gateway. It's like a gateway to our belief system. And it's so important and critical that we bring every thought into captivity. Every thought, not just some thoughts, but every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians 10:5. And when I share today, it's not to pass on any guilt or to create shame, because God is not a God that wants or desires to create guilt or shame in any of us. So as you listen to me, I don't want you to feel any of that, because God does not want you to feel any of that. It is His desire that we partner with the Holy Spirit to teach our mind and create new patterns of thinking. And that's His desire. And we have the power to change. You know, as a counselor, I have discovered that our mind is the battlefield. When I meet with clients, and you know, all of us, before I even go down that path, all of us, we have our thoughts. We have the way they think. A lot of it has been impacted by the way we've been raised, the life experiences that we've had. And through that, we develop core beliefs. So the beliefs that we have and the way we think is generally impacted by past experiences and just life experiences in general. So when we come before the Lord, when we accept the Lord, when we give our hearts to the Lord, all of this comes with us. And then we have to navigate, okay, I'm a believer, I'm serving God. I desire to do the things of God. But sometimes these little thought things that are going on in our head influence the way we think and feel. And it is Father's desire that we break down those strongholds in our mind, that we tear down these things that prevent us from serving Him and prevent us from living the life that we were created to live. And what is a stronghold in the mind? What is a stronghold? A stronghold of the mind is a lie that the enemy establishes in our thinking. It's a statement that we count as true, but is actually false. But we believe it. And it's kind of like me, if I put on mascara, and this mascara is smudged, and I have this big black blob over my eye. I didn't look in the mirror, so I don't know it's there. So I'm not aware that it is. Am I speaking too loud? Okay. I'm not aware that it's there, but if you look at me, you see it. I can't see it. And that's how it is sometimes with thoughts and things that are in our mind. And that's why today I want to make you aware of what goes on in your mind. You might know it, but sometimes we need to say, hey, and just give a check and just get that reflection. Because sometimes we get so busy with life, there are things that we don't notice or see or even think about. But it's there, and it's right there, but we're just not looking in the mirror to see it, so we don't see it. When the enemy influences our minds and our thoughts, he's not going to just come out and say, hey, I'm the devil, whoo, you know, I have a pitchfork and I have horns. It's very subtle. So we need to be aware of the guides of the enemy and how we can deal with it, how we can see it when it's coming, how we can know to set up our guard and protection against what the enemy wants to do in our lives. And I don't attribute everything to the devil. Sometimes things are our fault. Sometimes we do things that we're not supposed to do, and then we say, hey, the enemy's attacking me. No, you just need to take responsibility for your actions. Okay? The thing with the enemy is that when we embrace the lies of the enemy, it affects our attitude, it affects our emotions, it affects the way we behave, okay? So one of the tactics is mental warfare. And sometimes when we have these mental warfares and the enemy's attacking our mind, sometimes for us it causes us to feel accused. It causes us to feel intimidated. And it's so important that we listen. I know Jack quotes this quite a bit from Bill Johnson. He says, I cannot, and listen carefully to this, please. I cannot afford to have a thought about me in my head that he, referring to God, doesn't have in his head about me. Anytime it entertains things that are not absolutely true, and central in his perspective about me, then I'm visiting something that will war against what he thinks about me. The battleground in spiritual warfare is in the mind. It is in the mind. Before I go any further, let's just pray. Let's just pray today for a transformed mind. Let's just pray that God can bring us to the place where we're open to receive his word and hear what he's saying and not just receive it, because if we don't apply it, we can have transformation, we can have knowledge, but action is key to everything. So let us pray for a transformed mind. Father, I thank you and rejoice in the truth that you are a good Heavenly Father. I thank you that you created us, your children, and I have a beautiful kingdom inheritance. Holy Spirit, I invite you into the process of identifying and overcoming strongholds in my thoughts and in my mind. As we begin this journey, Father, I ask you to help and guide us in identifying every area in which battles have been raging in our mind. Lord, we also welcome you to help us identify subtle thoughts and negative beliefs and emotions that keep us from walking out a victorious life in you. Show us every place in which we have embraced wrong beliefs. Reveal to us every place in which the enemy has spoken his deceits and lies. Lord, we desire to walk with you. We want to be sold out on you. We want to be committed to you. And we want to live a lifestyle of holiness. We thank you that it is your key strategic time in our personal relationship with you to be transformed from glory to glory. May we become a true reflection of you, Father. Father, we just welcome your truth. We welcome your love and your delivering and healing. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation is essential in our lives. Without it, we will perish. So God wants his children to walk in victory and in freedom throughout their lives. The Spirit of God wants each of us to capture these strongholds that we have in our minds and that hold us captives and strengthen the stronghold of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's like we want to break down. I'm talking about breaking down, tearing down strongholds. Strongholds were like fortresses where people would go and find safety. But the strongholds that the enemy has built up in our minds, think of it this way. Like, this is a stronghold. And when we open that door that let the enemy in, and I believe the mind is the gateway. Once we open that, the enemy comes into what we have built up for Christ in our lives. He comes in and he may just hide behind here and he's just waiting for you to do something. And then he puts his two pence bit in and he interjects something negative. He brings these things here. Negative thoughts are not good. Scientifically, research has proven that when we have negative thoughts, it affects our brain, it affects our processes, it affects our thinking, it affects what we do and what we say. So let's just work towards getting rid of those negative things. Every one of us in this room have battled strongholds. And sometimes we realize it, sometimes we don't. And that's just the reality of things. We have experienced battles and thoughts that we're constantly diffusing and working towards defeating. So when we have circumstances and we have the opportunity to do things that can change, that can transform, that can pull down those strongholds. You know, John shared something the other day. We went through a period of about a week ago. I just knocking heads as we started working together in the business. And it's like, whoa, what the world is in the world is going on? And we got together and we just held on to each other. And we started praying and asking God to do the work that he started to do. Because I started to have negative thoughts. It's like, why did I leave my job? Am I going to work with him? We're just going to knock heads. What am I doing here? I should start looking for a job. And all these thoughts were going through my head. And I realized that what I was doing is allowing the enemy to come in, to put these thoughts in my head, and then have free rule and reign in my life. And we said no. We just said enough. And we sat down and we got together. We held on to each other and we prayed. We know we love each other. We know what God has called us to. We know what the enemy can come in. And again, I don't attribute everything to the enemy. But when it's in your face like that, and when you choose to recognize seeing God and seeing the enemy, here is the reality, everyone. We have choices that we can make. We can choose love. We serve a good God that loves us. Yeah. Or we can choose fear, which is where the enemy is rooted in fear, and he uses fear to defeat us a lot of times. Like even fear for me, even coming up here and sharing. You know, at one point it was like, who do you think you are to go on a Sunday morning and speak in church? And because of past insecurities, I started to feed into that. I thank God that he has placed people in my life so I could talk to. I could say, hey, Susie, I'm feeling this way. Hey, Lindy. Hey, Shelly. Hey, life group. This is how I'm feeling. I'm struggling. I need more than what I can handle personally. And there is that support base. And forgive me if I forgot anyone. But when we have that to hold on to, we can hold on to what we know. And it's in those moments that we go back to, what do you know? You know that God is good. You know that God is faithful. You know that God wants the best for you. You know that you can trust God in spite of your situation. You know that we serve a God that is in the miracle working business. We know that there's absolutely nothing, nothing that he cannot do. He's a miraculous God that cares for his people. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. We take every thought captive to obey Christ. Yesterday, as I was praying, I saw an image. Well, first of all, Susie sent me something. And I printed it up here. It said, fill me today with your Holy Spirit and help me to live the kind of life that deep down I long to live. The life that deep down I long to live. What is the life deep down that you long to live? What is it? It's serving God. We have a sense. It says, we sense it. We know absolutely it's from him through his spirit. And it's so good to know that Father is actively drawing us to himself because he is faithful. He is absolute goodness. And when we get to that place, we will know instinctively he's Spirit of the Lord, and wherever he is, there's peace. We know that he's always there, and our soul longs for more. And that's just how we were created. And this ends by saying, it was an old song, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, then the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. There must be transaction, which is us, an act of our will to live in transformation. This is living apart from the lies of the enemy. Transformation then becomes action. Action gives us confidence, and we become wiser in what we think. After I felt that the Lord gave me this vision of jumping in a swimming pool, totally soaking and saturating myself in the presence of God, soaking in his word, just wet, totally wet for Jesus, just getting everything. There have been so many times that I've tested the waters with my toes. I may put a foot in. I may even sometimes go up to my knee. And, you know, sometimes it hits my waist. But what would it be like to be totally saturated with God? Just wet, soaked in. You know, in OSSM, we have what we call the secret sauce. Any OSSM students want to share what that is? The presence of God. Soaking in the presence of God, in his fullness. You know, I went through a period of time, and I'm just sharing a little bit regarding just some, because I might be standing here, but I've had my struggles. I still have my struggles with my thoughts. A couple of years ago, a lot of you know that I had congestive heart failure. The doctors that night when I was in the hospital didn't know if I was going to make it. I was out. I was unconscious. And they told David and John and Philip that they didn't know if I was going to make it through the night. And obviously, I'm here, so I got out of it. Thank you, Lord. But I opened the door for the enemy. And I started feeling like I was going to die. And it consumed me. Allowed it to consume me. I didn't just stop it there, which is what I should have done, but allowed it to consume me. I was waiting to die. I even started talking indirectly to John about what I wanted done with my things. I even went, and this was bad, but I even went to the extreme of indirectly talking to my boys and saying, you know, if anything was to happen to me, it was really important for Dad to remarry, so you should prepare yourself for just open. I didn't use the word prepare yourself, but just be open to him, because I said I want him to be happy. So I was actually planning out my death in my mind. The enemy had sinked in so far. His roots had gone so deep in me that I was preparing myself for death. And it was like, what am I doing? What am I doing? And I had to start praying against that. I had to start taking authority over that. Because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. No weapon that's formed against me shall prosper. No weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. Each and every one of us, it's not gonna prosper, because God is on the throne. You know what the enemy is like? The enemy is like, and is described in the Bible, like a toothless lion. He roars. He doesn't have any teeth. That's what all lions do. They move in packs, but they send them out and they roar. They make a lot of noise, but there's no substance to them. So they will instill fear. Fear might freeze the animal, and then the ones that are healthier will come in and attack. That's what the enemy is like. He has nothing over you. Everything you need is in you. The power of God is in you. You have been given the authority through Christ to do what God has called you to do. There is nothing that you cannot do. The enemy sometimes sounds scary, but he is nothing. He's a toothless lion with a lot of flap. He's nothing. He's absolutely nothing. You have more power in your finger than he has. So he's nobody to be afraid of. He just scares us, the loud roar, woo-hoo, and you think something. Just take authority over it. Don't let it set in your mind. And declare who you are. When we find our identity in Christ, when we know whose we are, it makes it so much easier to take authority when we need it. It makes it so much easier to stand up to his devices. Yeah. I am skipping here. I feel I'm supposed to skip. Okay. I remember one other thing that the enemy did with me, and I want to share it because sometimes we see people and we don't even realize what they're going through. We don't realize the journey that they've been through, and we think they're also got it together. But they're still walking. We're all on a journey. We're all on a journey in our walk with the Lord. I remember when I went through a period of fear, where fear gripped me. There were a lot of incidents with young black men being beat up, being shot, being this, ones wearing hoodies. And I started to fear for my sons. I went in through this phase of fear where I wanted to know when they were going, where they were going. I'd say, don't wear hoodies. I would say this. I would say that. I would watch the phone. I would call them and check in on them to make sure they were okay. And note, I don't have anything against police officers. I have really close friends, so just saying that it has nothing to do with that. It just had to do with the situation and what was going on in that season. And fear got the better of me. And I started thinking about that, and it was like, no, I cannot let this consume me. I cannot let this control me. It was dictating my life. It was telling me when to go to bed. It was telling me when to wake up, when to have these thoughts went through my head. And I thought, no, enough is enough. And I remember saying, you know what? Each and every one of us in here, or some of us in here, sometimes we struggle with fear. Sometimes we struggle with anxiety. Sometimes we struggle with depression. Sometimes we struggle from past trauma and different things that we have experienced in life. So I'm here to tell you today that enough is enough. I am here to tell you today that I want us to move forward as a body, as people of God, as children of God, who has a Father that loves us and desires to deliver us from these things, that God will never give you a spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and of a sound mind. Fear has no place. When you believe a lie, you empower the liar. Fear messes us up and connects us to a lie. Anxiety has no place. I went through periods of anxiety where I couldn't even drive past a certain place. Depression has no place. Trauma has no place. Guilt and shame has no place in our lives. None. Absolutely none. Because greater is he than is us, than he that is in the world. We want to open a new world, a world that God created us to be, a world that is full of freeing ourselves, not being captive to certain thoughts. It's so important that we change the way we think and we repent and we renew our minds. And what does it take to renew our minds? It means breaking down the strongholds and the things that we have built up in there that is not of God. How many times do we entertain thoughts that we know deep down is not of God? Sometimes it's things that we're familiar with. And it's the little things. You might say, oh, I'm Irish, so because of that, I act this way. No. We might say, oh, I'm just afraid because my dad used to whack me in the head. Yeah, that's your experience, but you can overcome that. You can stand up and take authority over these feelings, these fears, these insecurities that bind us. It's like being tied up. How can you walk down the road if you're tied up? How can you run and be free and reach people when you're tied up? How can you function in your relationship with your spouse, your family, your sister, your brother, any kind of relationship, friends? You cannot if you are bound, and you have to choose to take authority over it. You have to put action. You have to fill your mind with the things of God and tear down the things that the enemy has put in your minds, in your thoughts. You gotta do it. You gotta do it. It's not even something, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. Oh, I'd be better off. No, do it. Don't you want to live a more fulfilling life? God has called us for more. We are the ones that stand in the way. Let's tear down those thoughts that hold us down. Let's tear down those negative things that bind us. We might not be able to change our past, but whoa, can we change our future? Can we live the life that God has called us to? Guilt and shame has been something that I think permeates, especially shame, because it affects people in such a way that no matter what you see, the lens that you're going to see life through is built on shame. When you have traumatic experiences, the experiences that you see life through is through the trauma. As a counselor, one of the things I always do, and I'll tell my clients, I don't want to see you after a while. And some were shocked when I tell them, I don't want to see you after a while. I don't want to see you because I want to be able to equip you with the tools that you need so you can live a successful life. So you are not dependent on me, but you're dependent on yourself to move forward with your life. And that's the same that applies here and today. Today, I feel like I just want to give you the tools that you need to break down the strongholds in your mind. And you can live the life that you choose. It's your choice. It comes down to, do you want to choose love or do you want to choose fear? Do you want to choose God or do you want to choose hanging out with the enemy? We all have that decision to make. We have a choice. We have a choice. Jenny was so gracious to copy up some scriptures for me, print them up and staple them on breaking the strongholds of their mind, because the word of God is powerful. It is active. It is alive. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. When it penetrates, it cuts through the core. It cuts on the side, right? It cuts on the love. It separates. Because there is power in the word of God. There is healing in the words of God. There's restoration in the word of God. We serve a God that is just man. Sometimes it's mind-boggling to me to think that the God of the universe, the God who created the universe, even desires to have a relationship with me, desires to have me come to him and just say what's going on, share what's going on, pray, seek him. And ask for his direction. That free will that we have sometimes can be like, you know, not the best thing, reality, but we have it. So we have to choose. We have to choose what we want to do with our lives, how we want to move on with our lives, and get to the place where we have the perspective that God has. So when we are thinking on things in our mind, it's God. We are feeling what God is wanting us to feel. We're hearing his word. We're moving the way he wants to move in our lives. So whether or not we're experiencing things, and I am not minimizing feelings. I am not minimizing depression. Can somebody grab a Kleenex for me, please? I'm not minimizing what people may be experiencing right now, because reality, we all walk through things different times. We have all walked through the valley of the shadow of death. But here's the deal. Keep walking. Don't stop. Don't lay down. Keep walking. God has given us what we need to keep walking. And when we don't feel like walking, we cry out to him and ask him to give us the strength that we need to walk through it. That can be a season in our life. Sometimes we make it a lifestyle when it's not meant to be. We serve a God that is faithful. When we come into agreement with God, our minds become powerful tools in God's hands. Renewing our mind begins with repentance. We need to hold on to the truth. We need to take responsibility for things. No matter what mental stronghold you may be facing, God has equipped you with his divine power to tear down any unwanted thoughts that may bombard you. We have what we need to tear it down. God will never leave us. That's one assurance we have. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. When we take our thoughts captive and give them to Christ, we can be sure that he will lead us onto the next step. Sometimes even, I've kind of skipped through this. I'm missing out a lot of things that I wrote, but hey. When we think of our minds, we think of the things. A lot of what I'm saying is just to make you aware. Because like that big mascara blotch, if you can't see it sometimes, you're not even aware of it. It's to make you aware. And you have to put action. You have to take feet to this and say, okay, get to the place where you can ask God to help you to recognize the things that might be consuming your mind. If we want to tear these things down, and then we want to build it back up with the word of God. And that's what we want to hold on to. That's what we want to draw our strength from, the word of God. I'm going to read something now, and I'm going to ask Courtney. She just backs me up with everything, with prayer support, with everything. Now she's going to back me up with song. And I'm going to ask everyone to just close your eyes. Just close your eyes right now. And I invite you to start allowing the Lord to work in your heart and in your life and in your mind by acknowledging the worries and struggles that have been filling your mind. Ask Jesus to guide you in this process, to give you thoughts that are of him. He wants you to allow him to gently guide you into the next step of recovering what was stolen from you. Once you begin to take your thoughts captive, that's when it work begins. John 10:10 clearly states that the plans of the devil are to hinder, discourage, and to bring forth harm and destruction to us. But the good news, it doesn't end there. The good news is that we have a weapon far greater than the forces of evil. We have the sword, the word of God. So whether you feel depressed, whether you feel hopeless, or you find yourself struggling with lustful thoughts, suicidal thoughts, anxiety, depression, whether you struggle with panic attacks, the solution to overcome the lies of the enemy is to fill your mind with God's word until there's no room for the enemy's lie to enter in your mind. You want to make it a goal to completely saturate and believe every single word in the Bible. Anytime the enemy attempts to whisper evil thoughts in your mind, counteract it with the word of God. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit, and it's in the armor that we find our strength. We must allow it to shape us, to define us, and to separate from what is not holy and what is not true. God empowers you to take every thought captive, freeing you to move closer to your destiny. The enemy does not want you to be where you are fulfilling your destiny. You're fulfilling what God has called you to. You were born to win. God calls you more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I'm going to go ahead and pray. And I want you to continue to keep your eyes closed. Father, I rejoice in the fact that your truth sets me free. The word of God says we shall know the truth, and the truth will set us free. It's in knowing the truth, not just hearing the truth, but we need to know it in our heart. And right now, Father, we just welcome your delivering anointing to envelop us now. Holy Spirit, guide us in this time of prayer and highlight to each and every person here any areas in which they need to repent. Any areas where thought patterns and strongholds have gripped their minds. And I should say our minds, because it applies to me too. If you have embraced the lies of the strongholds, God wants to set you free. We just thank you, Lord, that in you we have redemption, that through your blood, the forgiveness of sins. God, we just thank you for your blood and the forgiveness of sins. Thank you that your blood is greater and more powerful than any of your mistakes that we have ever made. We have come, you have come, Father, to rescue us from the enemy's hands. And God, as we bring these different things to you, we repent. We repent of them and we ask that you forgive us. And today we renounce, we break, and we cancel any activity of the strongholds that have been holding on to us. We speak to this stronghold and we say that your hold on my thought life and actions are canceled. In the name of Jesus, I am no longer submitting to your lies. And we ask the Holy Spirit to take control of our thought life, to take control. Our thoughts have been washed clean by the blood of Jesus. God, we want you to fill our minds to overflowing with love, with patience, with freedom, with joy, purity, goodness, holiness, humility, righteousness, and acceptance. We are your children, and we rejoice in this freedom. Because you are God and you are Lord, and there's nothing, God, that you cannot do. So we just thank you, Father, for that. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your love. We thank you for who you are and who we can be in you, Lord God. I ask that if anyone wants prayer, prayer for depression, prayer for anxiety, I'm gonna put the prayer team on hold for just a minute. If you're struggling with depression, if you're struggling with anxiety, if you're struggling with fear, thoughts of suicide, if there's anything that I have not listed and you know you're struggling with it, I want you to come forward for prayer. And as you come forward, I want you to seek God. I want you to pray to God. Or she in the corner. I ask you to go over in that far corner. Sorry, not up here. Over in that far corner. It's between you and God. It's between you and God. If you struggle with any of these things, and again, like I say, other things that I have not mentioned, I ask you to just go over there and seek the Lord. Seek the Lord for deliverance from these things. God wants to set you free today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of deliverance. God is so faithful. God is so true. God loves us more than can even think or dream or imagine. I want you to go ahead and just start seeking him. Just start seeking him. He wants to set you free. He wants to set you free. Prayer team, I'm going to ask you to join them. And prayer team, if you need to pray for yourself, just flip that badge off and go pray. Father wants to set you free. We're so thankful that God is a God of deliverance. Let's rejoice in our salvation. Let's rejoice in knowing that the God that we serve desires to set us free. He wants to set us free. There is hope. There is salvation.